like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hull.
Hooligans, be careful out there today. There's a lot of news going on. There's a lot of fakeness happening on Twitter as well with free agency and transfer portal news. Make sure you're following accounts that are somehow verified. They have a decent amount of followers or whatever. Like if it says Adam Schefter and you click his Twitter page and he's got like 8 followers, it's not Adam Schefter. So be careful. Go to your trusted outlets. Don't always rely on Twitter. There are actually websites that devote their careers and lives to this news, like ESPN, CBS. You know, don't agree with all of them all the time, but typically when they're reporting, it's kind of true. 49ers bolster up their defensive line. They're going to grab defensive tackle Javon Hargrave. How about that? They reached an agreement on a 4-year, $84 million deal that includes $40 million guaranteed at signing. Whew! He had 11 sacks last year. He just turned 30 years old. I mean, he was a big part of what the Eagles did last season. And that was a monster defense as far as sacks. Third most in NFL history with 70. So there you go. Austin Eckler eyes trade right now. According to ESPN, Austin Eckler is requesting permission to speak with other teams about a potential trade after preliminary talks with a team aimed at a contract extension failed to progress. Eckler doesn't make sense for Denver, does he? I mean, come back to Colorado.
If you're looking to pay top money for a running back,
yeah,
sure.
But we were mentioning like Henry and Barkley and those names. Eckler's got to be kind of in that same conversation, isn't he? Or is he a tier beneath?
He may, from what it sounds like, he sees himself as a starting running back worthy of a big contract. Might test the market and just see what happens.
Yeah, he's entering the final season of a 4-year, $24.5 million contract. He's scheduled to earn $6.25 million. He's been a very solid player. He led the NFL with 18 touchdowns, rushing for 915 yards on 204 carries. He caught 107 passes for 722 yards. He is really an all-around player. But the Chargers don't have room right now. They entered the offseason $20.5 million over the 2023 salary cap. They cleared $40 million in space to become salary cap compliant by restructuring the contracts of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joey Bosa, and Khalil Mack. They got some big names, though. That's the problem. When you get all these big names, it's hard. They're going to have to make some decisions, and maybe it sounds like he's going to be gone. Here's some more Eagles news. Jason Kelce was debating whether or not to just call it a career. He's already played for 12 seasons. He did decide to go back. He is going back to Philadelphia for a 13th season. Good. I think the NFL needs the Kelces. I love the Kelces. I'm in on both of those dudes. The podcast they do is fantastic. I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but the clips I've seen of Travis Kelce, actually with his brother in the audience cracking up laughing, it's actually good. I'm good with this. This TCU story, Eddie Lampkin, stud for TCU, appeared in 20 games each of the last two seasons, did not travel with the team last week to Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament, and he is not going to be playing this weekend in March Madness, I don't believe. He is transferring. He's entering the transfer portal right now. I mean, that's nuts, man. That's their center. Big dude. But he decided to enter the transfer portal. Now, again, people need to know the background of the story. You know, some are like, oh, he was just fine and getting set to play. Well, no, he had been expressing some concern about his coach and all that. He also Stephen Johnson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported that Lampkin was dealing with personal and mental health issues as well. So this is just a story that, man, I mean, And again, if he's dealing with mental health issues and all that, I mean, you feel for a guy. But it's nuts because you're getting to Friday's game, or I think they play on Friday, and you got key players that are just entering the transfer portal. This is different. I mean, it's kind of like not going to a bowl game, Angel, but this actually means something. This is your playoffs. This is what college basketball is all about, is to get a chance to go to the big dance. And he's out. He just retweeted a tweet that said TCU's Eddie Lampkin will be entering the transfer portal. And he just retweeted and said it's God's plan. He deactivated his Instagram, but apparently on his Instagram thing, he refers to mistreatment by the head coach of TCU, Jamie Dixon, and disputes the reasons for his absence from the team. One of the conversation appears to involve his mother, Vanessa Lampkin, referring to racial remarks used toward her son. The Instagram has been removed. He deactivated the account. On Thursday, multiple black parents of current players told the reporter Johnson here that they have never heard of Dixon making racially insensitive comments. Talking to the media in Kansas City after TCU's Wednesday practice, Dixon said he hadn't seen the Instagram post and declined to comment. He said he learned Lampkin wasn't traveling with the team on Tuesday. We wish him the best. I love him. We'll always love him. Well, this is where you kind of understand the transfer portal. Obviously, there's more to the story. It is a he said, he said here. You know, maybe Lampkin is intimating that his head coach was using racial slurs or whatever against him. But then you have a bunch of parents coming out saying, no, that's not happening. None of that's happening. So that's a side story to this. But this transfer portal stuff, Angel, is wild. And this is where I like the transfer side of it. If you're a player, okay, my guy, Ellison Hubbard, the very first player we did a radio NIL show with, he went to play for Sam Houston State this year. He wasn't clicking with Adazio. I mean, it just wasn't working. It wasn't, from Ellison's story, it wasn't like he was bullying him or any of the other stories we heard about Steve Adazio, but didn't really give him the time of day, didn't talk to him, didn't have much to do with him, and then his playing time was gone. And so, for several reasons, I agree with the transfer portal on that side. For Ellison, that works. Okay, the coaching staff's not really working with you anymore. You were a five-year senior, I believe, or maybe a four-year, not five-year senior, yeah, maybe, something. I don't know, he had a COVID year. You had a guy that wasn't clicking with the coaching staff and was basically going to finish his career on the bench and not play at all. That's unfortunate. Like, these guys should be able to, if they're good enough to play college football somewhere, they should be able to go somewhere, and that's fine. So this is why I like the transfer portal. I do. But we are abusing it. I mean, guys are leaving left and right. Like, why did Kuor John Cooch leave UNC, Angel? Like, he would have been a nice piece to the team this year. But from what I know, there was no ill will. They were all good. He just left.
Yeah, well, he had finished up his schooling at UNC, graduated in the spring, and then it presents you an opportunity to play as a grad student with, you know, 1 year of eligibility to play at a higher level. Ended up going to Temple.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, and he had some decent games with them, too.
Yeah, he was pretty good there.
And then you get that. Like, that is, oh, you can play for a better team, a bigger school, and have a chance to make a name, even more of a name for yourself. I get that, too. If coaches can do it, then players should be able to move up. It's when the lateral moves start happening. The Nevada situation with Jay Norvell. I mean, their coach leaves. They all came to Nevada for him, and they want to go with him. I get that, too. But it does feel like we're abusing this, doesn't it? I mean, the transfer portal, so much of it's with the NIL stuff. Because, you know, somehow these players are getting wind of money. Like, hey, if you transfer here, I know businesses that would be willing to hook you up at endorsement deals and stuff. Which is not technically supposed to happen, but what are they going to do? What, I mean, is it illegal for a car dealership to message a player? Is it illegal for a random person to message a player saying, hey, I don't work for the school or anything. I just have it on good authority that this car dealership in Fort Collins would pay you $10,000 to start if you play here, if you transfer. That's going on. It's not supposed to be pay for play. You're not supposed to say, hey, play for the Rams and I'll pay you. It's supposed to be, hey, you're playing for the Rams. Cool. Well, there's money here for you. Again, Angel, that's what's so stupid about it, though. The wording of it, like, you can't pay for play. Well, that's what it is, though. You're paying money. You're giving money to these guys because they're playing for the team that you're supporting. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, on face value, it can be presented like that, and behind the scenes, that may be going on. We probably will never know. But how much of those conversations are guaranteed? I don't think any player is guaranteed a starting position anywhere, and I don't think any one company or whoever say, oh, yeah, I'll totally write you a check right now, and then 6 months later you're in school, you're on the bench, and suddenly, oh, well, you said you were starting, and we made a deal for a starter. And,
right. Yeah. Well, and I'll just speak from our own experience here. Ellison was a projected starter at D-tackle. Crazy Carl's Pizza works closely with us. They met Ellison, loved the guy, and it was a no-brainer. So it wasn't ever for them. Like, that's theirs is a pure example, and I'm saying it right now. They loved Ellison. They still talk to Ellison. And they just wanted him to represent. But obviously, when he opted out of the season for CSU and didn't play anymore, then that everything ended. I mean, our contract stated he would be doing a radio show on behalf as a football player. I mean, we have verbiage in the contract that says, you know, the radio show, the segment. You know, again, if Crazy Carl's wanted to do a deal with him on the side, I don't know if they did. They might have continued to do it. But ours is, hey, we want to do a radio show from a football player's perspective. When you're not a football player anymore, we're not doing the radio show. So that's the other thing, Angel. They say, I had somebody the other day tell me, well, yeah, but you can't pull the contract if they transfer out because that's illegal. What are they going to do? Send you to jail? Like, it's not...
You put it in your contract.
But even if a business does that, gives a kid money, and then the kid transfers and they say, you're not playing here anymore. We're not going to pay you anymore. What are they, if that's illegal, air quotes, what's going to happen to the business? They might, I guess the school could choose not to work with that business ever again and take their money, but I doubt they would turn away money. So when it's funny to me when I hear people like, it's illegal. It's like, it's illegal in your world and like college world, but the real world of business, these business owners can give this kid money if they want. I had before NIL started, I had a guy who got up. He worked for a bank. He got up and he paid the tab for a bunch of potential recruits for a team in the state of Colorado. And one of the coaches tracked him down and said, hey, you can't do that. Well, the business guy, the owner can't get in trouble. The player would. The player would for accepting the money. But on the reverse end, now with the NIL, it's like you can't, you know, as a car dealership, you can't give him $100,000 just because he's going to play for the Rams and then pull it if he transfers out or whatever. It's like, yeah, you can. What are they going to do? Throw you in jail? It's not illegal. It's illegal in your world of college sport. It's a very complex issue here with this transfer portal stuff. It's crazy, man. But you look at these teams now, they got to be careful with it. I loved what Adam Nygaard had to say. He's like, dude, I feel like coaches can't coach hard anymore. And some players want to be coached hard. I've asked them before. Some players want a coach yelling and keeping them accountable. You know, and some coaches want a mix. A Nico Medved type, who's kind of a mix. He's a very nice guy, but when he needs to light a fire, he can do that. Steve Smiley's probably the same way. Jeff Linder's a hard, you know what. I mean, he gets after it. He makes no bones about it. Hunter Maldonado, who's a great player, going to go down in history as one of the great players for Wyoming, loves it. He wants coaches like that. Some don't. Some want it to be very, you know, you're okay, buddy. It's fine. We're going to get through this, and let's just work hard. Some want the other way. Some want the mix.
Well, I think is the NIL system and the transfer portal, it almost creates a sense of entitlement for these players in that, oh, well, if you're not going to coach me the way I want to be coached here, I'll go find a coach or a school that will. And, you know, say the coach will say, all right, well, best of luck to you. No hard feelings. Or it's, you know, I was a five-star coming out of high school, and I had X, Y, and Z offering me here, and I had all this NIL money on the table, but I chose to come here anyway because I thought you were the coach. And that situation ends up doesn't working out. And so it's, okay, well, you weren't a good enough coach for me, so I'm going to go find a better place.
And on one hand, I can totally get that because, Angel, you're a heck of an athlete. You get 4 years to do this. To either try to make something of yourself to go to the next level, or again, a guy like Adam Nygaard, he's not playing professionally. He walked on, but look what now he's got new opportunities. He's doing radio. These guys can use those careers to grow their opportunities. So if you're playing for a team and suddenly the coaching staff's not clicking with you and your playing time's going away, then it's like, do you want to waste this opportunity being a third string guy? A backup quarterback in Alabama? Or do you want to go somewhere where you can grow your name, either enter the NFL or whatever, or you did so well while you played for such and such school that you get jobs easy? There's guys that played for UNC in that March Madness run that they went on. All they had to do was make a few calls, and bam, they've got a career now because of what they did as a Bear, as a Ram, as a Buff. So it's not just about the playing of the sport. It's you were given this gift of being an incredible athlete. You worked extremely hard. But if you go to a school and suddenly you sense that your playing time's not going to be there, you're not clicking with the coach, do you want to waste that for 4 years? It's not the pros where it's like maybe the player doesn't like the coach. Eh, he's still getting $20 million a year. You know, it's different. These guys only have a short amount of time to make a name for themselves. Now, what I don't like is, like, guys that are getting playing time and are doing well just up and leave because they think the grass is greener over there. But that's where it's tough because it's like Deshaun Thompson, is that who that is? Or Thomas. I can't remember. He played for CSU and transferred to Montana State. He maybe wasn't going to be a starter for CSU on the projections last year. So he transfers to Montana State, and good things happen for him. I get those stories. I do. It's just, it's convoluted. It's a mess. But this is why, you know, I get so upset about this, because if the NCAA would have acted quicker on all this stuff, maybe we would have ironed out all these kinks back in the day. Instead, it was just, here's August, bam, NIL's legal. Transfer portal, there's not as much sanctions on it. Because guys could transfer before, but you'd take a year off, whatever. Now it's guys can transfer left and right. There's got to be some kind of a limit on the transfer portal thing. Like, maybe it's once, and if you do it twice, I don't know. Because I didn't like the idea of if you transfer, you got to sit out a year. I hated that. Because, again, you only have so many years left to do this. You only have so many redshirt opportunities. 24 minutes after the hour. Poll question of the day is up at theholeshow.com. A little nuggets, even though we've got a lot of Broncos stuff to get to. Are we panicked yet about the Nuggets? They're in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. They're getting ready to go on a 5-game road trip. And then after the road trip, that's when it gets tough. Milwaukee and Philly and Phoenix trying to lock down this top seed. The last few games have not been pleasant for the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk about that coming up. Chris Dempsey will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as well of Altitude TV, so we're looking forward to that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The big news of the day, the Broncos added McGlinchey and Powers to their offensive line. They've got their right tackle and their left guard set. I am told that there's more to come on the offensive line. That there might be one more move within this free agency period. So that would be probably your center position, unless they're moving on from Garrett Bowles. It would save some money there. This is exactly what it needed to be for Denver. Trenches. Fill up the offensive line. We'll see if they do anything on the defensive line. I mean, Shelby Harris, the Seahawks are planning to release Shelby Harris, who was a part of the trade for Russell Wilson and such. Would the Broncos consider going back to that route? I'm not sure. This is just, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, this is not just, they point and shoot. They needed to fill those positions. They did. Why are we freaking out about it? McGlinchey and Powers could have gone anywhere, dude. They chose Denver. And Denver's reworking enough things with their salary cap that they're making this thing work. McGlinchey, $17.5 million a year contract is great. Because look what the... Wow, look what the Chiefs are doing here. Juwan Taylor, former Jags offensive lineman, signed a four-year, $80 million deal, including $60 million guaranteed. Insanity, man. Now, four-year, $80 million deal. Wild. Ben Powers is doing, you know, his deal is... going to be like, 2023, he'll get $2 million. In 2024, he'll get $12 million. 2025, he'll get $11 million. 2026, $12 million again. So Denver's doing it the right way. I mean, they're absolutely trying their best to make sure that they have that offensive line set up. And so far, so good. What's next? I mean, are they going to try to move Courtland Sutton? Getting that contract out of here would be big, even if you were just able to get a third or a fourth round pick for him. You don't want his contract. Sutton tweeted out over the weekend he wanted to be somewhere where they valued him. They think they value him. They're paying him pretty good. They signed him. I was actually shocked by George Payton signing Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick when he did. And he locked those two guys up, hopefully... you know, with the hope that they were going to work out. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, Courtland has not lived up to that. He's paid $14 million a year. That's his base salary. So, I mean, I don't know why Sutton feels like he's not appreciated. Our poll question of the day on the Nugget side of things, are we panicking yet about this team? Three losses in a row for Denver. It was nice to see the Joker get back to, you know, the triple-double machine and gigantic stat lines and all that. But defensively, and honestly, just the decision-making by the head coach has not been good. I mean, you lose to Brooklyn yesterday. And now when you go to the standings, they're still holding down the top seed at 46-22, but the lead has been cut from 7-5. Angel, I don't know if they've won since you told us on the show that they needed to win one more to lock up at least a play-in spot. They haven't won since. Do the Nuggets have this killer instinct to really do this thing this year? I mean, the cracks started with me against Toronto, even though they won. And then the Chicago game was really unacceptable if you want to be a championship team. San Antonio San Antonio is one of the worst teams in the league. They and Houston in the West, along with Detroit in the East, are the only teams officially eliminated from the playoffs. Sacramento's 8-2 in their last 10. Memphis is 6-4, and it looks like Ja Morant will be back. Suns might have some concerns. Kevin Durant's hurt again. Guy's hurt all the time, dude. He got hurt in warm-ups. Golden State's now in sixth place. They're 6-4 in their last 10. So there is a big concern here, and if you're Denver, you gotta figure this out quickly. Because you don't want to drop down in the standings. You don't want to lose any of that momentum and confidence and all that. You got to fix it. They're at Toronto tomorrow at 5:30, an earlier game. And the Raptors are in desperation mode. They're in a play-in spot right now, but they could climb up the ladder. They got a lot of work to do to get up to that sixth spot. I think they're like 6 or 7 games out of that right now. But you know, even if you could put yourself in one of the top two play-in positions, make it a little bit easier, which they could easily do that. So they're going to be in desperation mode. Are we panicking about the Denver Nuggets at this point? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Go vote at theholeshow.com. We'll see where you guys sit at the end of the day here. Christian Brown, to me, is just got to be in the line. You got to use him. He's proven it. Defensively, you know, he had a nice pass to Nikola Jokic yesterday. A little fake to the left. Hits Joker in stride as he's cutting to the basket. It's absolutely beautiful. I think they have a good connection. 36 minutes after the hour. Anjo, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. You're going to make your way down to Denver coming up for March Madness, Angel. First and second round action starting March 17th and 19th at Ball Arena. 8 teams going to be in Denver for March Madness. And these are big teams, man. They drew a pair of number 3 seeds among the 8 teams set to play Friday's first round, with winners playing in the second round on Sunday. Baylor, number 3 seed in the South region, and Gonzaga's number 3 seed in the West region. I don't mind seeing a little, you know, Timmy play there with Gonzaga. That'd be cool.
Timmy 6-year?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be sweet. Good for Denver. This is good for a Ball Arena. Have this there. I mean, I'm curious if any of our hooligans are going to make their way down there. Other games that we're going to have. So you got Baylor's obviously going up against a 14 Santa Barbara. Gonzaga over 14 Grand Canyon. Also in the South, number 6 Creighton will take on number 11 seed North Carolina State. In the other game in the West Regional, number 6 Texas Christian takes on the winner of the play-in game between Arizona State and Nevada. Both first-round games are expected to be competitive there, so there you go. All right. Tickets to games on Friday and Sunday are expensive, according to the Denver Post. The games at Ball Arena for the 10th NCAA tournament in Denver sold out months ahead of Selection Sunday, but tickets are expected to become available Tuesday if schools don't sell out their allotment of tickets. How expensive are we talking here? So you got Friday in the South region, number 3 Baylor will take on Santa Barbara at 11:30 in the morning. And then you'll see Creighton and North Carolina State at 2 o'clock. Then it's Gonzaga and Grand Canyon at 5:30. Then TCU versus Arizona State or Nevada, depending on who wins that game. Yeah, there you go. If you want a full list of that, check it out at thedenverpost.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. a wild day in NFL free agency. That's just, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, is that one of the biggest pieces of news today at this point? Obviously, over the weekend, Angels-Dolphins traded for Ramsey. The Rams continue to offload that whole F them draft picks mentality. Well, hey, it worked to get a Super Bowl. But when your Super Bowl is done and the players start going away and the money has to be doled out, I mean, it's hard to... You saw the same thing happened with the Broncos. Now, again, they had some draft picks. Denver did, but a lot of the reason they won a Super Bowl was their free agent signings that came in. Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, Peyton Manning, to name a few. Now, they had some, but the Rams, you're seeing that, man. It's so hard when you win a Super Bowl, you start paying guys, and you can't pay everybody. And that's why the draft is important for several reasons. Not just about finding diamonds in the rough or whatever. It's you're getting a lot of players on a discount for 4 years, which allows you to sign one or two big-time players going forward. That's why when you see teams go all in on a quarterback and give him the world, it can be difficult. The Packers have only won one Super Bowl after paying Aaron Rodgers so much money. And now you're seeing that with the Rams, that mentality of, yeah, screw the draft picks, we're going free agency. That only works for one real shot every 10 years or so, because then after that, you're kind of screwed. The example, I mean, you don't see the Patriots get that active in these. You never see the Patriots going all in on a lot of free agents, because they paid their quarterback, and then they would piece it together through the draft, maybe some B-level free agents, and they would let guys that are A's go. They would let them walk. And that's why you typically see the Patriots. Those are the teams that typically win a lot of Super Bowls. You know, the Chiefs, will they run into this at some point? You know, obviously, they weren't going to pay Tyreek Hill. If they would have paid Tyreek Hill, you wonder, where would they have lost in that side? Defensively? They've not been able to give... I mean, they just paid an offensive lineman a crap ton of money, too. Ooh, how these teams are finding... How are they doing this with a salary cap?
Restructure, restructure, restructure.
I guess. There's ways you can do it. Other news today. Broncos get their offensive lineman with McGlinchey, with Powers. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a Raider. A lot of news today, man. Jimmy G going to make the Raiders a contender? Are they a contender at least in the AFC West?
I don't even want to start that conversation again. AFC West, the toughest division in football again?
Yeah.
Hard to do that 2 years in a row.
I know, but it still feels like they should be. The Broncos certainly got better today. Did the Chiefs get better? Got another piece to that offensive line. Did the Chargers get better? The Chargers might be in trouble. They're restructuring contracts left and right. And without Austin Ekeler, that would be a big loss if they end up having to move on from him.
What's Rodgers going to do?
Retire? Stay with Green Bay? Go to the Jets?
We heard last week a decision's coming soon. Well, it's day one of free agency and no decision from Rodgers.
Yeah. I don't.
Jets did just lose their backup quarterback, so.
And they didn't get Derek Carr. They were wanting maybe
running
Derek
out of
Carr.
Options, too. Jimmy G's gone, so. It's Rodgers or bust.
It would be
Jets.
Weird to see Rodgers in a Jets uniform, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just another shade of green.
It's still weird. It was weird to see Brett Favre in that. And it was even weirder seeing him in a Minnesota Vikings jersey. But it's getting crazy, man. Here's the other one with the Broncos, too. Draymond Jones is out there. Do they bring him back to Denver? Does he want to come back? Dixon says, is Jimmy G an upgrade over Carr? Feels like a lateral move or maybe even a downgrade. Yeah, Angel, you're going with
It's an upgrade. A very slight upgrade. The only thing is that he has experience with the coach.
Yeah. I would say it was a downgrade, but the connection with McDaniels is going to speed this process up a little bit. Maybe it is more of a lateral move for me, but McDaniels
has always gotten worse.
McDaniels has always told us, you know, you can get, if he can get his guys, if he can build this thing in his image, Jimmy G with Devontae Adams, that guy's been tossed around a little bit, hasn't he? Goes from Rodgers, then he wants to go to the Raiders because he was teammates with Derek Carr, and then Derek Carr's gone. I don't know if the Raiders, in my mind, got better necessarily. Denver did. Denver definitely got better. Raiders sat Carr so they could look at Stidham in the last two games, and he really wasn't that bad. And then they let him walk and go to the Broncos. Raiders gonna Raider. Yeah, I don't know why they let him go. They sat Derek Carr down. I don't know why Josh McDaniels is doing the things he's doing, man. A lot of them are just like obvious screw-ups. Like, Derek Carr's like a good quarterback. Good dude. He is a good quarterback. He's better than Jimmy G. I would.
They're like,
Jimmy G,
they're like
dude,
neck and neck. If Jimmy hadn't been hurt the last 2 years,
he looked awful.
He would have passed up Derek Carr.
Well, he didn't.
But Derek Carr didn't really do anything to make the gap wider.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jimmy G, the game against Denver, he was just awful. I mean, he was stepping out of bounds. He couldn't complete any passes. I've never been over, even when he was going to be, when the Patriots were talking about moving on from him for the very first time, I was like, I don't see it. I don't, because he's going to get paid somewhere. I don't see it. He's not, listen, I'm not going to say Derek Carr's way above him, but they feel like they're two similar quarterbacks. But that's who the Raiders wanted. Had more of, maybe they're right, Dixon. Maybe that is more of a lateral move. 48 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two. Chris Dempsey going to join me in the 1 o'clock hour, talk all things Denver Nuggets. Certainly, they are at the top of our brains today as they're in the midst of a three-game losing streak. Can they snap that tomorrow against the Toronto Raptors? We'll talk about all that coming up next. More on the Denver Broncos. What's next for Colorado State? It's transfer portal day. Are we going to hear any news? When will Isaiah Stevens perhaps make that announcement? We'll talk about all that and more coming up next as the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, it feels like the Broncos got a lot better today, man. Had a need. The offensive line was the first and foremost plan for Denver. Have to upgrade there, and they did. Mike McGlinchey and Ben Powers, former Niner, former Raven, got your right tackle, which is, to me, the most important. You desperately needed a right tackle. And then your left guard, which would mean likely that's it for Dalton Reisner. So huge there for the Broncos, as you do have, you know, teams in the West are still making moves. I don't know. The Chargers feel like the one that might be losing out here so far, especially with the talk of Austin Ekeler seeking a trade, because I don't think they can afford him. I think their salary cap is jacked right now. The Raiders, what this looks like, because they did they tag Josh Jacobs? They franchise tagged him. Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, and Darren Waller. He's got the weapons. He's certainly going to... I mean, he had weapons in San Francisco, but he couldn't stay healthy. But is that a move that makes Devontae Adams happy? Because he came to... You know, he chose the Raiders. He wanted the Raiders because Derek Carr. He loved Aaron Rodgers. But he didn't know what the future held for Rodgers either. He didn't know if he was going to stick around, so he wanted to go play with his guy. And then that lasted barely, not even a season. Well, it's, right now, it's the Chiefs' division to lose, no question about it. And, I mean, so much still depends on Russell Wilson. Yes, the offensive line got better, way better. You've already upgraded your football team. He was getting sacked a lot, partly because the line was so bad, partly because he was making the wrong decisions. But this at least helps. Now it's going to be on. I mean, you're putting the pressure solely on Russell Wilson. Because now you're taking out all the excuses. Here's your offensive line. Here's your coach, the one you wanted, Sean Payton. You have, on the other side, you have a defense still with most of these guys, save for Draymond Jones, who's going to test free agency, he's probably going to get paid. You're removing all the excuses for Russell Wilson. What you got? What you got over there, Angel?
The big one is here. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers is being traded to the Jets.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay. That is a lot to unpack. Aaron Rodgers going to be traded to the Jets. That happened quickly. Dude, this is insanity. Jimmy G's going to be playing for the Raiders. Now, of course, you're looking at one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time going to be playing for the Jets. And now what does that do for the Jets? So now you got an AFC team with Aaron Rodgers in it. And the Jets, what did they win? Seven, eight? Did they win eight games last year? Got to think Rodgers is good for a couple more. Did that division just get interesting, Angel? Did that division just get very interesting for you?
Interesting in terms of a power shift?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Buffalo. Bye-bye, New England.
Ooh!
The East is here.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You're right, though. That division.
Flying high or swimming down low.
That division got interesting, dude. And him no longer being a Packer. That is just weird to me, man. What was weirder? What's weirder? Rodgers going to be in a Jets uniform or Manning when he left the Colts, when the Broncos signed him, he's in a Bronco. The Broncos uniform just felt right. And maybe it's because I'm a Broncos guy, but it still just felt right. Colts, Broncos, same kind of animal. But a Packer to a Jet. How about that? What a wild day. Still got the 1 o'clock hour coming up next. We'll talk a little bracket challenge. All that and more. But Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett reunited. And it feels so good for the Jets. Jets, Jets, Jets. We'll be right back.